take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
Beginning of 2020, when COVID first hit, I have witnessed many changes to our healthcare system, a system that I have been a part of for nearly 30 years. From the very beginning, much of what we were doing did not make any logical sense, and it flew in the face of everything that we have historically done as healthcare professionals. Suddenly, it seemed as if the guiding principles of ethical nursing and medical practice were being so easily dismissed and without question. Of all the things that I have witnessed over these past 3 years, none have been more disturbing to me than the atrocities that have been committed against our most vulnerable populations, including pregnant women, lactating mothers, and children. We're going to delve into this topic today and discuss the deeply concerning departure from ethical medical practice. You're listening to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I'm your host, Nurse Kimberly Overton. Before we get started today, I do want to encourage our listeners, if you have questions or comments, or perhaps you want to share your own experiences with what you're seeing on the front lines of healthcare, you can now submit those to us by sending them directly to nurses@americaoutloud.com. We will be featuring your questions and comments every Tuesday on a special Q&A episode with the nurses. We encourage all of you to engage in the battle and find your voice in this fight, but until you are able to do that, we will continue to be that voice for you. Joining me today is Dr. Kimberly Biss. Dr. Biss is a 1993 graduate of Tufts University School of Medicine. Upon completion of her surgical internship at Emory in Atlanta, she made the move to St. Petersburg, Florida, to begin her OBGYN residency at Bayfront Health. She joined a private practice in St. Pete in 1998, branching out on her own in 2007, in a practice that she has now grown to a two-physician, three-practitioner group. She has been involved in an estimated 8,000 pregnancies in her career. Along with Dr. Biss, we are welcoming back to the show nurse whistleblower Michelle Spencer. Michelle courageously came forward and reported the explosion of fetal demise that she was witnessing as a NICU nurse. She is a registered nurse and an NAET practitioner who treats allergies and vaccine injuries energetically. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have you guys back in. I have really been following your work for quite some time, Dr. Biss, and I really wanted to have you on and kind of get your perspective on what's been happening. I've had Michelle on before. We had Nurse Michelle here with us and Dr. Jim Thorpe. I think it was a little over a year ago, or maybe just about a year ago, that we had you guys on talking about that explosion of fetal demise. Were you seeing some of the things, similar things that Dr. Thorpe was?
So I, thankfully in my area, we did not see an increase in the stillbirth rate. Our stillbirth rate in Florida across all counties is about 6 out of 1,000 babies is the rate. And our particular birthing unit, the rate is 14 out of 1,000, and that's because we're a referral center for a lot of high-risk pregnancies, babies that have birth anomalies, et cetera. But that rate, I had the IT people run analytics on our delivery unit, and the rate was steady from 2020 throughout 2022. So I didn't see any increase in that. And at other wards in my community, I would have been aware if this were a problem, because from 2020 until the end of last month, I was the chief of staff of my hospital. So, you know, hospitals communicate, especially initially on during the pandemic, and I would have been aware if that was a problem. What I did notice was an increase, very obvious increase in the miscarriage rate. And I actually, I met Dr. Thorpe at the first inaugural FLCCC conference they had in Orlando here in Florida. And he got me in the movement, so to speak. And after I left that conference, I went back and did a deep dive into my data and collected the miscarriage rates that from January of 2020 up until at that point, it would have been November of 2022. And I did send all my data to Jessica Rose up in Canada, and she put it in one of her Substacks. And that was one of the links that I had sent to you last night, so your readers can directly get to that piece, because she puts all my data in charts and graphs and makes it easy to see. But sadly, from 2020 to 2021, the miscarriage rate in my practice went up 100%. In 2020, we had a normal miscarriage rate, which for me was about 4% average month to month. The normal rate they will quote in textbooks and some articles stating that miscarriage rate is anywhere from 13 to 15%, which I've never seen clinically. And newer literature that came out in 2020 by Nairt et al. Actually showed a normal miscarriage rate is about 5 to 6%, which is still higher than what I've seen. So in 2020, during the active infection with no vaccine, we had a normal miscarriage rate. We had a normal birth rate. If anything, in November and December, wink, wink, we had a lot of deliveries because of the lockdowns that year. And then we had a normal registry of newly pregnant patients. So 2020 was a normal year with regards to all those statistics. When I went into 2021, the miscarriage rate average month to month was 7 to 8%. And I had also noticed at the same time, we were having less deliveries and less people registering as newly pregnant patients, which was a reflection of either them miscarrying before they even made the appointment or now having problems with infertility, because we had many patients who had no problems getting pregnant prior to the rollout of the injections. And now all of a sudden they need to see infertility physicians and get in vitro fertilization. I mean, a sharp contrast to what they had in the past. Then moving into 2022, the miscarriage rate had increased to 15%. So it had doubled again. And that was up till November of that year. Jessica didn't have my data after that. So in December of 2022, the miscarriage rate in my practice was 27%. And then in January and February of 2023, it had increased to 30%, which I'd never seen ever. And it didn't normalize back down until June of 2023. And then it kind of went up again, and now it's back down to normal. So the concern there is that the majority of my patients, I also did a deep dive and looked into the history of vaccination in those patients. The majority of my obstetric patients had been vaccinated in 2021 and early 2022. Most had 2 and 3 injections. Very few had 4 or more. So we were seeing a continued increase in this problem, even very remotely from the time when any of them would have had any injections. So something was still lingering on. That was the main thing that I had kept, pretty close tabs on with regards to data and numbers. But I can just tell you, along with what Dr. Thorpe has seen in a recently published article, the spring of last year, actually, is that a lot of bad things occurred during pregnancy, not just the miscarriage rate. He, of course, addressed the stillbirth rates, but also things that can happen during pregnancy, like preeclampsia or hypertension during the latter portion of the pregnancy, low amniotic fluid volumes around the babies, which is a reflection of not very healthy placentas. Both of those conditions were causing us to deliver patients prior to their due dates, and some of them prematurely. What's of grave concern is the postpartum hemorrhage rates went up pretty significantly. And I was amazed at how, the normal maneuvers and medications we were using to try to stop these women bleeding. And for your audience, as a reference, a postpartum hemorrhage is defined as 4 units or a liter of blood loss, which in the average woman is about 20% of her blood volume. And that would be on top of what blood she may have already lost from either a vaginal or cesarean birth. So that requires blood transfusions. And in some of these patients, we had to do surgeries to stop the bleeding. And in August of 2023, I had to do a hysterectomy on a patient because I couldn't control her bleeding. And fortunately, this wasn't her first baby, because that could be catastrophic in a patient who has only one child, and now you've rendered her an inability to or unable to have a child in the future. And for reference to your audience, there are obstetricians that practice 30, 40, 50 years and have never done a hysterectomy for that indication. So that's not a common thing that's done. So this is very concerning. And, you know, I'm so grateful that I met Dr. Thorpe, and, you know, within a week he had me on my first podcast, and you haven't been able to, you know, silence me ever since. And I was honored in November of last year. I was called up to testify in front of a panel of 10 Congress members, an informal hearing that Marjorie Taylor Greene headed, but I was on the panel with Dr. Robert Malone and Thomas Renz, who's an attorney, and I presented the data that I just discussed with you, and their jaws dropped. I mean, they were floored with seeing that. So, you know, hopefully something will come of that. And I do think the tide is turning. I think it's really hard to suppress this information anymore. A lot of people are seeing this now.
Yeah. And, you know, I pray that you're right. And I feel that as well. It's just getting harder and harder to deny what has occurred. But I'm just curious, and I'd love to get your input as well, Michelle. You know, what, going back to 2020, whenever they started pushing this, now very rarely does ACOG take such a strong stance on anything, right? Mm-hmm. So when they came out and they were really pushing the narrative on these vaccines, like, what were your thoughts? Because this is something that we have historically, we don't do this. We don't give experimental drugs and vaccines and all of these different experimental things. We don't do this with our pregnant population. I mean, we won't even let them eat deli meat, right? We don't let
Correct.
Them eat meat. You don't let them change a litter box, but we're okay mm-hmm. with just injecting them with this experimental mRNA technology. So what were your initial thoughts when ACOG came out in such strong support of mass vaccination campaign?
Yeah, so I'll conclude what I'm about to say with, I understand now, because Dr. Thorpe's wife, Maggie, filed FOIA requests and found out how much money ACOG got in 2021. Yeah. But yes, initially when they started talking about these injections, I was like, Are you serious? Because, you know, prior to 2020, if we ever gave an obstetric patient something new out of the box, that would be malpractice. I mean, you know, and for obvious reasons, because you don't know what it's going to do to the patient, but you have two patients and what's going to happen to the newborn. And, you know, you need to have long-term studies. And most, you know, drugs per the FDA are classified in 5 levels when prescribing for pregnant women. And I would, you know, there's A, B, C, D, and X. And I would certainly say that these shots would be classified as category X, which are never to be given to pregnant women because animals died in the trials. You know, of course, Pfizer didn't have animal trials for what we all received, but previous messenger RNA trials, the animals died. And I was just amazed. And you're right. I mean, I've, you know, taken care of women for 30 years. We can hardly get some of them to take an aspirin. You know, they don't want to do anything that's going to harm their baby. And yet the campaign and the marketing and the fear was so intense that women lined up in my practice. 70% of my obstetric population got these injections, and that's commensurate with the Florida rate for overall the population vaccine rate. But I will tell you, I was against it from the get-go, and not only for my pregnant patients, I mean, for everybody, because it was a brand new technology right out of the gate. And I had already been seeing how we had other things that were available that were being suppressed, and I didn't understand why we were going to make a vaccine for something we could treat with, you know, medications off the shelf we already had. So this was not recommended to any of my patients, and you know, my family members or myself. I mean, I'm, you know, to get on a personal level, I was only a year into my breast cancer diagnosis when they started talking about these experimental vaccines. And I knew right away personally, I wasn't going to get one because, you know, I was trying to, you know, cure my cancer. So, and in retrospect, that was a good decision because look what we're seeing now with the cancer rates. So anyway, flash forward, you know, this whole thing was marketed to women, right? Because women make the household medical decisions in the family. And if you can convince a pregnant woman to get this shot, game over, right? Because then everybody else, well, if a pregnant woman gets it, then it's got to be safe and I'm going to get it, you know? So it was heavily marketed, and we know how much money ACOG received, about $11 million in April 2021 to say safe and effective when they had no long-term data to substantiate that claim.
Exactly. And that's what really disturbed me. That's actually why I left my job as a nurse. You know, I worked in the ICU as a critical care nurse, but I you know, after really watching my patients murdered with hospital protocols, and I just couldn't, you know, take that anymore. I started working from home doing telephone triage, and they wanted us to recommend vaccination for everyone, including children and including pregnant women. And they actually wanted us to use the word safe and effective. We had a scripted answer that, and it was right there in black and white. Yes, it is safe and effective, period. And I mean, right out of, just like you said, right out of the gate, this does not meet the standard for informed consent, because we didn't have any long-term safety data. So there's no way we could make such a statement. The best they would get out of me was, we just don't have the data. And, you know, I started talking about things like natural immunity and stuff like that, that would really probably get me fired because our calls were all recorded before. But I ended up resigning my position because there was no way I was going to say these words, safe and effective. But how did we get so many physicians who, they have to know better, right? They have to know better. How did we get so many of them to go along? Is it because they're paycheck employees, or, you know, they have all of these, you know, medical school bills that they have to pay, and they just feel like they have to just kind of put their head down, keep their mouth shut, and go on? I just don't.
I think it's a, you know, I've really thought about this hard over the last few years. And I think what you just mentioned is part of it, because most physicians are employed and they can get fired. You know, very few percent of practicing physicians have their own office and they're their own boss. You know, most have been sucked up by large hospital systems and insurance companies at this point. But I think what it really goes back to is that there's a lot of groupthink now, because physicians have lost the ability to critically think outside the box. And I think that all started when I started medical school in the early 90s. The concept of evidence-based medicine became a model that was how physicians were taught, and of course, driven by big pharma. So basically, the model has us taught in a way where every disease, in order to figure out the problem in the patient, there's an algorithm that you go down. So everybody goes down the same path, orders the same tests, does the same exam, and orders the same imaging studies, et cetera. And then once you find that problem or diagnosis, then you have a recipe and a cookbook where you treat every patient the same. So not only did we lose the practice of medicine at that point, because we don't all come off of assembly lines, we're not all the same inside and out, we've also then, what's the point in thinking, right? Because, you know, everything's on a piece of paper for you to follow. You don't have to figure things out. The other thing that it did was it showed us how, you know, even more so, where we don't question, we just follow what the authoritative figures say. And now, you know, these people in medical school, if they question anything, they lose, you know, they could be kicked out of medical school or not get a residency spot. So they're even more you know, silenced, let's say. So I think that is what made it very easy for physicians to just, you know, everybody follow the same protocol that, you know, Fauci came up with, which were disastrous, and shun the people that, you know, thought outside of the box and actually were treating early outpatient COVID. I mean, I told you earlier in this discussion that I was the chief of staff. You know, my hospital's a 400-bed level two trauma center. We're not small potatoes. And I have a large, you know, medical staff that represents all medical specialties. And I gave a talk in July of 2021 after a pregnant woman died because she was denied early treatment. Wow. And she died of bilateral saddle emboli. Yeah. And sick with COVID, she had not been vaccinated. And I gave a talk about early outpatient treatment and how I didn't think these vaccines were going to be a way out of this pandemic. I showed the Israeli Ministry of Health data at that point in time because they were on their booster in July of 2021 because they started their injections sooner than we did. And they already had ICUs full of sick people with COVID that were vaccinated. I said, this isn't going to work. They wanted, there were three doctors that heard that me speak. And the next day they went into the CEO's office and demanded I not only be demoted as chief of staff, but kicked off the staff entirely, of which at that point in time for 21 years I had been on in good standing, because I was dangerous and evidently anti-vaccine. And that's all they got out of my talk. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what I was dealing with.
Yeah, it was absolutely absurd what was happening. And it was interesting to me that 96% of physicians went ahead and got vaccinated and were very militantly pro this experimental mRNA technology. And, you know, I saw more nurses standing up than I did physicians. And I saw an interesting, I think it was Dr. Robert Malone had did the talk about mass formation psychosis and how mm-hmm. the higher your education level, the more likely you are to fall under that mass formation psychosis. And I'm sure it's just the level of indoctrination that you are exposed to in medical school. But you mentioned earlier the evidence-based practice, and that is something that we are hammered with in nursing school, with evidence-based practice. And it was something that I was like, I was always keeping at the forefront of my nursing and thinking, you know, that this is what I have to follow. But suddenly, you know, when really COVID opened my eyes to so much, I mean, I would think I was part of the problem for probably just 4 years ago, talking about get your flu shot, you know, thinking, because as nurses, we don't get any education on vaccines. The only education we get, safe, effective, and necessary, and that's all. And many of us just kind of, you know, implicitly trusted until COVID really, really opened our eyes to so much of what was happening. And suddenly, evidence-based practice started sounding a whole lot like follow the science to me. And I started to realize very slowly that I had been propagandized for many, many years without even realizing it. And Michelle, I'd love to get you to chime in on this. Did you feel anything similarly as far as like the evidence-based practice and how, what were your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are that I had to unlearn everything.
Yes,
because you're right. We're not given any education on vaccines except that we're supposed to get them to keep our job. I mean, I was getting the flu shot every year for 5 years. And then every flu season, I would get extremely sick. And I didn't put it together for the, you know, the 5 years that I had been newly receiving flu shots. Because before I ever started nursing school, I never got the flu shots. I also wasn't sick. So you're taught that it's safe and effective. And then you get it. And then when you get sick, you just figure, oh, it's germs from somewhere else. And every time you get a vaccine, you tax your immune system, you put it into overdrive. And so it makes you sick. And then it also can create autoimmune diseases, which is what we're seeing now. So many people with these weird problems that no one's ever had before. And also, you're talking about the women who are hemorrhaging and the medications aren't working. I agree with all of that. And then especially pre-E. So preeclampsia, where women get really high blood pressure and then they have to deliver the baby. Even after they deliver the babies, they're still having high blood pressure and they're on these critical medications. And we used to have a pre-E patient, you know, maybe we'd have one on the floor per maybe week, every week or two. And now we have like three or four every single day. And they're on these critically high medications. They're very dangerous. And so it's so backwards right now. And I want the world to like start looking at birth differently. It's a very natural process that should not be disrupted by medical interventions. We need to get back to that. And the whole system is just violating all of us when they're injecting us with stuff. Like, I feel like we're all just one big experiment and we're just their little pawns that they're moving around. It's crazy.
I completely agree with you. And you know what, Dr. Biss, I would love to get your opinion on this because, you know, I've been talking a lot lately. I really have been praying over adding a midwifery component to what we're building at Remnant Nursing. And I think that a lot of women are really frightened by this mainstream media and the mainstream conventional medical model that they cannot have a safe and beautiful home birthing experience, but that they have to go into a hospital, that there's no way that they could possibly have this safe experience at home. And I wondered what your experience or what your opinion might be on that, because I think that the majority of women likely, you know, very likely can have that beautiful experience at home, because I think it's important that we are keeping these babies out of the system as much as we possibly can. You know that they're getting them on day one of life with these Hep B injections. So what are your thoughts about as far as women having that safe home birthing experience?
Yeah, I think the silver lining for me with these last 4 years is not only do I have my new tribe now, which I say all the time, you know, the people that I've met, but it's really allowed me to see a lot of the, you know, BS that basically we have been taught in the past. And like Michelle said, you know, I'm having to unlearn so many things I've been taught in the past, and I have to do it piece by piece, because if I did it all at once, I don't even know how I would function. Yeah. But if you had said what you just said to me, you know, prior to 2020, I would be like, well, you're a lunatic. I mean, that's crazy. Women have to deliver in the hospital, blah, blah, blah. But I will tell you, this past summer, I spoke for an hour and a half to a physician, Fishbaum. I can't think of his first name, but he was practicing in the Los Angeles area and left the hospital setting because all the other doctors couldn't stand him. His C-section rates were so low because he was delivering all the patients that they wouldn't deliver, they would automatically do C-sections on. And he started a home birthing system with a bunch of midwives. And he was like the, you know, delivering a lot of the movie stars in their homes in LA. And he doesn't deliver anymore now. He did it for 20 years. Now he just goes around and teaches people how to do this. And I was just fascinated by what he was telling me, because, you know, we've always been taught that, you know, home birthing is extremely dangerous. And, you know, this electronic fetal monitoring, which, you know, even today does not prevent cerebral palsy. Multiple articles have shown that. It's just all it does is really increase your C-section rate and cause litigation. But there's so many things we do in the hospital setting that is, you know, just ridiculous and unnecessary. And yes, the babies, I mean, why are we giving them a vaccine for something, for a disease that we know the mom status, we know the mom's Hep B status, because we check it all, not only during their prenatal care, but once they're admitted to the hospital, we know within an hour if they have Hep B or the antibodies. You know, why are we giving these babies an injection for something that they would need to either get a blood transfusion, have sex, or boot heroin to get? Like, it makes no sense. And we have lost, you know, this, again, silver lining has awakened a lot of parents in general. And we lost a few patients to birthing centers and home birthing because they just don't want to deal with the hospital bullshit. You know?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why, because, you know, even when you don't consent to that Hep B injection, I can't tell you how many times I have seen this happen where the nurse is on autopilot and they thought there was a consent in there. They accidentally gave that Hep B vaccine to the child, and you cannot unvaccinate them. So it's a real concern, as far as as far as putting the baby in the system, even when you are awake and aware and you're saying, no, I don't want it, there's always going to be that chance that that baby is going to inadvertently get vaccinated, unfortunately. So I think it's really important that we are looking at other ways outside of the system. And that could be, you know, having more OBGYNs that are, you know, trained and coming into either a more holistic birthing center that, you know, that we make or that we build, or going in and doing these home births. But I think that most people are starting to wake up and understand that we need to get out of this system entirely, because it's, I can't stress enough how dangerous and toxic this system is.
Yeah. I mean, well, we don't have very good health outcomes, even though we spend so much money on health care, which is really sick care when you look at it. But we come, you know, somebody spoke and mentioned, you know, we come down as number 79th on the list of all countries. We're below Cuba with regards to our health outcomes. And I mean, I have friends that have families in Cuba. They don't go to the fufu hospital that the tourists do. I mean, these hospitals, there's no food. You got to bring your relatives food. They have fly paper strips hanging from the ceiling. They probably don't have antibiotics, and yet their health outcomes are better than ours.
Exactly. It's absolutely mind blowing. And I think, I know I've been to, you know, out of the country, and you hear people think of, oh my God, you're going to go get care at this in a third world country or something. And there's this like misconception that America has the greatest and safest and most wonderful healthcare system. And we're really not ranked anywhere near the top of healthcare. It's just this arrogance, I think. I feel like where we think we're the best at everything, and it's really not true. And we all know what the third leading cause of death is in the United States, and that is preventable medical error. It's probably number one after COVID, if you ask me. But we're coming up on a break. So we have so much more that we can dig into here shortly when we get back.
Okay.
America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can also listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best in-class apps available on Apple, Android, or Alexa, 24/7, great talk radio. All of our shows go to podcast the following day. You can hear them on apps such as Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcast, and many more. Be sure to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts for me. Don't forget to check out our online store at americaoutloud.shop, where you can find all of the products that we represent on our network at a discounted rate, including Acea Redox, which I can personally speak to seeing fantastic results with, including better sleep, increased energy, improved mood, and a decrease in my joint pain. Use promo code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your purchase. We'll catch you on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
It's time and this is what.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. You've heard Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company discuss the harmful effects of spike protein in your body, and now they found the solution. The miracle enzyme nattokinase. Their spike support formula contains nattokinase, the most compelling and scientifically supported approach to safely clear spike protein out of the body. What's more, spike support is optimized with other all-natural, non-GMO ingredients, like dandelion root, to help prevent spike protein from binding to your cells. Everyone should take daily spike support so you can feel your best. America Out Loud listeners can go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of five-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order, risk-free. Love it or your money back, guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold, too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I'm your host, Nurse Kimberly Overton. Wherever you're listening from today and whatever you're doing, I thank you for giving me the gift of your time. Be sure to make AmericaOutloud.news your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. We all must do our part and share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and videos so we can help secure America's future. If you're just joining us, I've been talking with OBGYN, Dr. Kimberly Biss, and registered nurse and nurse whistleblower, Michelle Spencer. Thank you both for being here with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So we dug into a lot in the first half of the show, but I do want to talk about, I know that there's a new study that has, or it's in preprint, that's going to be in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology on the mRNA, the presence of mRNA in the placenta and cord blood. So I want you to touch on that for just a few minutes, if you would.
Yeah. So, remember in the beginning when they said, safe and effective, these these injections are going to stay in your deltoid. They're not going to go anywhere else in your body, which on its face was ridiculous because we inject a lot of things in the muscle in medicine. And if it was going to stay in the muscle, what the hell's it doing for the patient? But like a bunch of bobbleheads, we were like, okay. I mean, we had data that we have now through FOIA requests gotten showing that the lipid nanoparticles, which are the fatty envelope around the messenger RNA, go everywhere in the body, predominantly to endocrine glands and concentrated most highly in the ovaries in the rat trials for Pfizer. So these do not stay. And we've obviously now we see that there's spike protein in tissues that we can stain for. But what's of real concern now is the study you just mentioned, which is in preprint, and the leading author is Jinhao Lin. And it's showing that, you know, intact messenger RNA is now found in placentas and in the cord blood to the baby. And we had kind of a hint that this was possible when we had a study that came out in September of 2022 by Nazi Hana showing that fully intact messenger RNA was in women's breast milk. So what does this mean for the babies? We don't know. And sadly, we're probably going to be finding out a lot of things in the years to come. I mean, we know that these injections also, some of them have been adulterated by containing DNA in the DNA plasmids, which have a bonus with a cancer promoter as well. So we just do not know what this means. And there are some experts out there that are really concerned about the brains of these babies, because we know that these injections get into the brains of people. I mean, that's originally what lipid nanoparticle technology was one of the indications to be developed for, was to get chemotherapeutics across the blood-brain barrier. So we know that this spike is getting in the brain, and now probably fully intact, you know, genetic material. We just don't know. And that's the problem. You know, this was given, and we'll do the studies later to figure this out. And that's not how medicine should ever be practiced.
Completely unethical. This is, this is crimes against humanity. If I've ever seen them. And you're right, we won't know the full ramifications of what we've done here. What they've done here for probably decades. Will we know the full ramifications as far as, you know, what this is going to mean for fertility from those babies that were in utero? We don't know.
Right.
It's horrific. You know, and another thing I wanted to touch on, let's talk about the new RSV vaccine. I saw that this was coming out, an RSV vaccine. I cannot think of the name of it off the top of my head. It's just an A.
Abrevzo, I think. Yeah, the Pfizer. There's a great Substack, which I sent you the link to. Igor Chudov is his name, and he's a numbers cruncher, and he goes through a lot of papers, and kind of breaks down the statistics. And, you know, the argument he had in his Substack is if you use the Pfizer math, you're going to end up killing 400 babies to save 3,000, and save is in air quotes. So Pfizer and GlaxoSmithKline were both given the same antigen to make their vaccine. So this is not a messenger RNA platform. It's the more traditional what we're used to prior to COVID. But GlaxoSmithKline had, you know, studied 4,000 women, and they were seeing danger signals pop up because this vaccine was causing these women to go into preterm labor, and some of them very early on, and the babies were dying basically due to the complications of prematurity. So they halted the development, and they decided they were not going to put this out on the market. But of course, Pfizer said, hold my beer. And they decided, with only studying or presenting 100 people to the FDA to get this approved, they had statistically the same amount of babies that died. But they said, given the fact that our sample size is so small, that statistic doesn't mean anything, or it's not valid. So the FDA said, oh, okay, great. We'll get this out on the market. And they basically say, you know, it shouldn't be given to women prior to 32 weeks because, you know, we know there's a risk of preterm labor. Well, that to me is ridiculous on its face because, you know, we now, I mean, when I first started obstetrics, we used to induce women all the time, 36, 37 weeks without any issue. And then we started noticing that the babies were having problems and they didn't really know how to treat them because in the NICUs at the time they were treating, you know, severely premature babies. So what do I do with a 36-weeker that can't breathe? You know, so now it's like keep these babies in until 41 weeks at all costs, unless they have some underlying problem like preeclampsia or some other reason to be delivered. Well, now you're telling me to give a vaccine that's potentially going to put them into preterm labor for what benefit? You know, it's crazy because all it is about money. And, you know, of course, we have ACOG jumped right on this and said, yeah, you need to give this to all your women. Same with the Tdap and the flu, because the whole shtick is they're going to make antibodies that are going to cross from the mom to the baby and protect the baby. But we now have learned through COVID, most of us, that there's so much more to an immune system, right? And we're always chasing antibodies, which honestly, the antibody component to our immune system is not really the important one. So what are we doing? And it makes me think, you know, maybe in all these years giving flu shots and Tdap vaccines, you know, maybe we're causing a lot of these things that women have problems with in pregnancy simply because we're giving them these vaccines.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I think so many of us have woken up. That's the silver lining to COVID, you know, is that the captured government agencies, big pharma, they've really overplayed their hand this time. And, you know, the result is so much, so many nurses, so many doctors finally waking up to really, this has been going on for decades or longer. And we just hadn't realized it. And that implicit trust in the white coat is really what has gotten us in the mess that we are in today. I really feel like that. So I think we need a complete and total just reversal. And we have to, many of us have to unlearn a lot of things. I've had to learn how to nurse in a more holistic manner. And I know Michelle has as well. And I'm certain that the same is true for physicians, that, you know, you just don't know how much of what you've learned is a lie.
Yeah.
I believe we have to start at the source. We have to first unlearn everything that we've learned when we trusted those in white coats. And the people that think that the vaccines prevent that, you know, said disease, that's a cute idea, but it's never actually been proven to do that. It is toxic to our system. You know, we shouldn't be putting toxic things in our system in order to prevent something from happening. You should be healthy to begin with, like get sunlight, exercise, you know, eat highly nutritious foods. And then we have to start at the source. And so I truly feel like that's what I'm helping. That's how I'm contributing, is because I'm there with the newborns. And so I'm talking to these parents. I'm like, hey, you don't need this hepatitis B vaccine, and you don't need any of these vaccines, because your baby's not going to have sex with anyone who has hepatitis B, and your baby's not going to shoot up heroin, and your baby doesn't need formaldehyde or aluminum or mercury or aborted fetal tissues in their body. Their system needs to be pure, you know? So I'm informing them. I'm giving them true informed consent at the source, so that when they start questioning that hepatitis B shot, maybe they'll question the next one. And yeah, that's how we're going to have to get through this. So yes, COVID, definitely there are silver linings that, you know, we see that people got the COVID vaccine and then they got COVID afterwards. And so hopefully they realized that, oh, you know, the vaccine didn't prevent COVID. And hopefully they can, you know, correlate that with all of the past ones. And then why are we giving Tdap? It's stupid. And why are we giving flu shots? Why are we giving RSV? Like, when does it stop? Every single year now, they're adding on something new. They're just trying to kill all of us, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And God bless you for educating and giving true and informed consent to these parents that they do not get that. So I'm curious, though, are you getting pushback from your employer, or, you know, what are their thoughts about what you're doing as far as, and all you're doing, you're not doing anything wrong. You're simply providing informed consent, which is what we should be doing as nurses. But I'm just curious what kind of pushback, if any, you've gotten.
Yes, I am informing, you know, parents. I'm giving them true informed consent, and I believe that truth triumphs over everything. And at work, my boss used to tell me, "Hi, good morning," you know, and now every time I see her, she's like, "Pull up your mask," because we have to wear masks again, and I have it under my nose, and she's always like, "Pull up your mask." She doesn't even say hi. I'm just like, "Okay, good morning to you too," you know, and other than that, there's been no other real pushback. Everybody's kind of pretending that nothing happened when they were, you know, the pressure was on and I thought they were going to fire me back when I had been investigated. At that time I had a really good attorney write a brilliant letter basically saying that what I'm doing is not wrong because they're not exposing the information that should be public. So pretty much what they're doing is wrong. And after that, I didn't hear anything from anybody.
Right. It's really difficult. And I tell people all the time, you know, people ask me, aren't you afraid they're going to come after your license? And I tell them, I'm like, well, come and get it. Because literally, if the only way that, you know, I can continue on being a nurse is just by being, you know, silenced into submission, by not giving true and informed consent and not, you know, just adhering to the ethical principles of nursing, come and get it. But you better be coming armed with a very good argument for taking my license away for simply providing true and informed consent, which is like the basis, the very foundation of ethical nursing practice. So I say bring it on. Nobody's come yet. So we'll see. Yeah. What about you, Dr. Biss? Have you had any threats against your license or anything?
No, there was a video that Steve Kirsch made of me a year ago that went viral about my miscarriage rate, and my chief medical officer of the company that employs me called me and basically said I violated some social media policy, which I didn't even know we had, nor had I signed. And basically I said, I don't really think I did because I wasn't on any of your properties. I never mentioned the company I work for. And last I checked, we have free speech in this country. So she's left me alone since then, but I know that there's a file on me at corporate somewhere because, you know, I'm a bad girl. But
I'm sure the file's on all of us.
So I actually ended my obstetric career last month. So I'm just doing gynecology. So I just couldn't do any more harm to my patients. You know what I mean? Like I have more wiggle room with gynecology and what I can do because that's not a malpractice issue really. But there's so much oversight with what we do with our obstetric patients and so heavily relying on what ACOG recommends. And I just can't be a part of that anymore. So, and you know, it was 30 years of being on a call schedule. So, you know, I'm enjoying my sleep.
I bet. I love it. You know, and maybe, you know, maybe as time goes on, we can, you know, talk you into coming on board with Remnant Nursing or actually we're a big announcement. We're changing the name to Remnant Healthcare because we want to be more encompassing of other modalities. It's not just for nurses. We're bringing in doctors. We're bringing in, you know, physical therapists, speech therapists, occupational therapists, because, you know, we need all of this to be able to function in this parallel system and under the private membership association. So I just know that for both of you, there will always be a spot at Remnant Healthcare if you want to come and join the rest of, I don't even know what to call us.
I would love to. I am so ready.
Well, we're ready for you.
Your remote healer midwife girl.
Exactly. And there's just, you know, there's so many things that we're growing very, very rapidly as well. So, and I'm really excited to see that because more and more people are starting to wake up to what has been happening for so long. And they are understanding that they are going to be safer at home with a nurse or with a doctor who is awake and aware and outside of this conventional system. Because I mean, I'm at the point where I won't even go to a hospital. I'll probably just, you know, take my chances at home at this point. I'm like, don't take me, whatever happens, just don't take me to hospital. Here's a list of doctors you could call. There's about five to 10 of doctors who I would even let touch me. And it's kind of been that way since forever anyway. So even pre-COVID. But yeah, they'll definitely always, yeah, I'm telling you, there will always be room for you guys and where we're growing with Remnant. So I love to see that kind of getting bigger and bigger, and really allowing true patient-centered care, not just this protocol-driven nightmare that we've been living through.
Right.
Yep, I'm with you.
Absolutely. Well, you guys, I am so thrilled to have had you on here. We're running out of time. It goes by so quickly because we always have such great, you know, topics, such great information that you brought to the table. I appreciate both of you for being here with me, and I will definitely love to have you guys back. But thank you. Is there anything you want to leave us with before we sign off for the day?
Yeah, don't get any more shots. Amen. And question everything. You know, don't take for, you know, 100% whatever your provider is telling you is true and accurate. And if you feel like you can't be involved in your healthcare plan, then that's a sign that you need to find a different provider, in my opinion.
Absolutely agree. How about you, Michelle? Any final thoughts?
I agree with Dr. Biss. Don't get any more shots. And I want people to know that they can reach out to us. You know, you can find me on Facebook until I make an official website somewhere. But, and then of course, with Remnant Healthcare, at Dr. Biss, I know Dr. Thorpe is always welcoming. You know, there's like resources out there. And so I just want people to know, like, ask questions, come to us. We're happy to help anytime.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much to both of you for being here. And that is all Thanks the time that we have. For t- Absolutely. That is all the time that we have for today, friends. But remember, we are here on the air 5 days a week, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can also catch the encore at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please be sure to tune in and listen to myself and my amazing sister nurses. As we walk you through all of these hot topics, we will empower you with information and education. We will advocate and we will stand in the gap for you because we are nurses and this is what we do. I'm your host, Nurse Kimberly Overton, and you can find me here every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. Until next time, be safe, be well, and God bless. Remember that we are in a war for truth. We are putting out a bounty on the real misinformation and exposing the purveyors of propaganda. No topic is off limits as we shine our lights and expose the darkness.
It's time and this-